Lena Williams is the daughter of a Baptist minister. She has written a short story entitled Personal Testimony. It's about a 12-year-old preacher's daughter who starts a business at Faith Camp writing moving testimonies for the other campers. Williams describes the preacher's daughter as one universally regarded by the women of her church as a child who wouldn't know a rule if one reached up and bit her in the face. She is the only girl who in 6 years of regular attendance has failed to advance even one step in girls' auxiliary, GAs. Other younger girls have made it all the way to Queen Regent with scepter, while she remains a perpetual lady in waiting. Her testimony skills are recruited by Bobby Dunn, Faith Camp standard for male perfection. But he has a case of Jesus jaw, a malady that keeps him from simply saying what he wants to and sitting down. You've met Christians like that, haven't you? This ghost writing service for Jesus, as she calls it, was actually Bobby Dunn's idea. Bobby becomes her recruiting agent. A girl named Missy Tucker, who wins annual penmanship awards, is hired so that the testimonies can actually be read by those who purchase them. The testimonies are a smash hit until Bobby and Missy fall in love and confess to the fraud. Talking about our faith in public is not something many Christians like to do. For many Christians, it's not something they feel they know how to do. Most of us would prefer to simply show our faith through acts of kindness and service in the church. Now, showing our faith in our actions is crucial. Our words about faith in Christ ring hollow without the substance of our actions running through them. Evangelism, writes Lee Camp, is much more than saving souls. Evangelism means living according to the ways of the kingdom of God and inviting others to join us on the way. Evangelism is not selling Jesus, but showing Jesus. Evangelism is not mere telling about Christ, but about being Christ. The challenge of evangelism, he writes, may first be a challenge of discipleship. Will we be who we've been called to be? The early church was so effective in its mission, not only because they lived as they were called to live, meeting the needs of the community around them, but because they also explained to their culture the reasons for their behavior and how their faith convictions shaped their way of living. I dare say if, like the early church, we made sure no one was needy in our community and our congregation, we would have some explaining to do about why we were so generous and so compassionate. The New Testament letter of 1 Peter instructs us to always be ready to give an account for the hope that is within us, and to do so with gentleness and reverence. Would you know how to explain your faith to someone who asks? Most of us shy away, or more honestly, run like crazy from the opportunity about having to speak about our faith in public. Comedian Flip Wilson used to say, when asked about his religious persuasion, "I'm a Jehovah's bystander." They wanted me to be a Jehovah's Witness, but I didn't want to get involved. Giving a verbal witness to our faith scares and even sickens some of us, because it makes us think of those evangelism methods that seek to scare people, that don't tell the whole story of the gospel, that whittle salvation down to just a few beliefs. Perhaps we even feel like we're forcing our faith on others. Or we think of that dreaded personal testimony of revivals and youth camps. Dreaded, that is, for the one doing the testifying, but quite entertaining for the listeners. And we've all heard those people give those testimonies that focus on the sin they enjoyed before they met Jesus, where you can tell in their voices they missed their past misbehaviors. I'm not talking about that kind of evangelism. I'm talking about authentic conversation with others about what Jesus means to you. We're called to engage our world and to invite others to walk in the way of Jesus. And that requires us to speak of our faith. So how do we talk about God at home to our children, at work with our colleagues, to our neighbors and friends who have no religious affiliation? What are we to say? Well, I think we can take a clue from the text we heard this morning from 1 John. The testimony of the writers and of their faith community is this: we declare to you what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands, this eternal life. We have seen it and testified to it. We declare to you what we've seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us and with God and with the Holy Spirit. According to John, the substance of testimony, of witness, is something akin to giving a testimony in a court of law, where we're simply called to tell the truth about what we've seen, heard, and experienced. You don't have to prove anything, because we really can't prove anything about faith. All we have is the testimony of Scripture as to what others have seen and heard and experienced, and the testimony of our own lives as to what we have seen and heard and experience. And that's all you can share: the testimony of the biblical story and the testimony of your own life. To share your faith is to engage others, answering questions for yourself like, where has God been real to you? What difference has Jesus made in your life? What struggles do you continue to face, and how does your faith help? What does forgiveness mean to you? What does prayer mean to you? Why do you seek to walk in the way of Jesus? How does your faith in God give meaning to your life? What faith convictions inform the way you live your life? In a few moments, we're going to sing a good Baptist hymn of testimony. It was the first hymn I ever learned. The refrain of that hymn is pure personal testimony. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. The songwriter all but admits that he can't prove Jesus lives. However, he says, I know He lives. because he lives within my heart. With humility and honesty, we're called to give testimony as to what we have seen and heard and experienced. Tom Long, in his book Testimony, says that we're not born knowing how to talk about our faith. But one place where we can learn how is in the church's language school of worship. He speaks of worship as a soundtrack for the rest of our lives. The words and music and actions of worship inside the sanctuary, playing in the background as we live our lives outside in the world. If you're unsure about how to go about talking about your faith with others, Brian McLaren has some helpful suggestions. He says that we, first of all, should listen to their story. It's what Rob Nash was teaching us about a couple of months ago. Listening to the story of others. Cultivate an interest in people. Show respect for them by being interested in their lives, their interests, their backgrounds, just as Paul did with the Athenians at the Areopagus. Ask lots of questions. And if you feel a window naturally opening where it becomes appropriate to talk about spiritual matters, ask a question like, do you have a religious background? Or invite them to talk by saying, tell me about your spiritual background. Sometimes just asking, do you believe in God? Or where are you spiritually? Can open the door for great conversations. Just remember, God has been at work in the lives of others long before we came on the scene. So it's important to respect God's previous involvement in their story by learning about it. So listen to their story. Then tell them your story. It's best not to be too aggressive when doing this. Scripture tells us to speak about our faith with gentleness and reverence. One way we can do this is by asking permission to share with them about our faith. Or by opening the door for further conversation, saying something like, you know, sometime if you're interested, I can tell you about my own spiritual journey. Or you can engage their curiosity by saying, a few years ago, my life took a big turn for the better when I started paying more attention to the spiritual side of life. Or share with them what's going on in your life these days. Like, I heard something really interesting at church last week. Or tell them, my pastor says something profound every week. It's amazing. You should come and hear it. No. Don't go setting up false expectations. All right. But first, listen. Close to lightning striking, I guess. But first, listen to their story. And then tell them your story. And then move into telling them God's story, which is what Paul did with the Athenians. He began with them where they were, with how the ways in which they understood God, without condemning them, but seeking to offer what he had come to understand as true. You can do this by simply recounting some story from the Bible, or stories about Jesus, or stories Jesus told that mean something to you. At various points in a spiritual conversation, you could say, you know, that reminds me of a story Jesus told her. That reminds me of a story about Jesus. And then connect the story to your own life. Because remember, for someone without a church background, the Bible really holds no authority for them. It will not mean very much to them for you to keep saying, the Bible says, as if it's something they must believe, or else they're crazy. They need to know that the Bible makes a difference in your life. So listen to their story. Tell them your story. And then share with them God's story and what it means to you. Also, be an inviter, a bringer, an includer. If your friend's interested in learning more, plan to meet with them again, or invite them to church, or invite them to our Monday night dinner gatherings. Remember that your mission is not just to convey information or quote Bible verses you've memorized. Your mission is to introduce people to a new way of living rooted in a relationship with Jesus Christ. McLaren uses the image of dance and says, you're not just teaching them about dancing. You're helping them learn to dance. And it may take some time. Listen to their story. Tell them your story. Share with them God's story. And invite them to further conversation and community. But most importantly, when sharing your faith, speak humbly and authentically. Let your goal be genuine conversation, understanding, and relationship, not simply a means to an end of conversion. Our job is not to convert or convict. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. Our faith is something we share with others, not something we inflict upon others. And remember, this is the life of faith we're talking about. We cannot speak with arrogant certainty when it comes to our understanding of God. All I can say with honesty and integrity is that with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my mind, I believe the message of the gospel is true. I believe Jesus is our best understanding of God that we have. And I believe that the way of Jesus is the way to truth and to life. And I believe those things because I was taught them from a young age by people who loved me and people I trusted. And because in my own experience, I have found them to be true and give profound meaning to my life. But I cannot be arrogant about my beliefs. And I cannot condemn the beliefs of others. Because telling someone they're wrong rarely leads them to change their mind or even consider what you have to say. To be arrogant about our convictions is really to deny the very truth we seek to share. The way, the truth, and the life is Jesus Himself, who washed feet and gave His life for others and told us to follow His example. I can only share the story of Jesus and my own faith story of what Jesus means to me. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to convince someone else that the story of Jesus is true. We say what we say to others about our faith as a gift, with no strings attached. We simply want to give others the gift of faith that has been given to us. I shared with you the words of Tom Long. We talked about how we can learn to share our faith by learning how in the language school of the church's worship. It could not have been more clearly done today by our men's quartet right before I stood up. If you want to learn what you can say, hear these words again that you can share in your own words. Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all. He gives me strength from day to day. Without him, I would fall. When I'm sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I'm sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. That's testimony. That's sharing your faith. A few months ago, I challenged you to reach out to at least two people. One, a church member who hasn't been in a while. And two, someone who doesn't have a relationship with Christ. How are you doing? As we enter into this time of response, will you again consider someone with whom you need to share your faith and renew your commitment to do so? Perhaps you would be so daring as to ask God to lead you to someone this week who needs to hear about the love of Christ and the grace of God. Our hymn of response is hymn 622, He Lives. If there are decisions you wish to make this day, I'll be here at the front to receive you. Let's stand together and affirm our faith in song.